I want to read verse 1 down through verse 10. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bring forth much, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And the Father hath loved me, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And I want to turn down to verse number 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. I'm going to preach tonight in a short amount of time. I have heard on a message called The Secrets, Some Secrets of the Abundant Life. Some Secrets of the Abundant Life. Now, life's your most precious possession. Don't take it for granted. Right now, you are either wasting your life, spending your life, or, like Pastor Seth obviously is doing, investing your life. It is you who determines which course to follow. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to come to you right now, and I don't know why, Lord. I've preached probably over 200 times in my life and many churches and in the prison for years and years. Every time I come behind this desk here, Lord, I get nervous, and I don't know why. I just pray, Lord, that you get me out of the way and help me to share this message with the dear folks in this room. Teach us, Lord, what it's like to have life, real life, Lord, not just a dead life, a life that just exists. Help us to have the abundant life you spoke of here in these words. Help us to abide in you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, who's the thief in this verse? Ultimately, of course, he's Satan, right, in this verse. The enemy of God and of good. But the thief always has assistance from people and circumstances. One man is robbed of life because of impatience. He always jumps the gun, only to find that the gun is aimed at his own head. Another person is robbed of the abundant life because of selfish indulgence. Food, sleep, sensuality, alcohol, you name it. Yes, there are many thieves that would like to keep us from enjoying God's abundant life, the abundant life Christ spoke about. Memories of past failures, fears of the future, a feeling that you're not important, that nobody cares. How tragic going through life and really not living. You know, how many of us can say this? Sometimes you don't want to live. It's just not worth it. There's just too many troubles going on today. I don't like it. I'm aggravated. I'm frustrated. I don't want to live today. Lord, take me home. That's not living. That's existing. How many would say, though, there's certain days and everything's going right and clicking and you feel the fullness of the Holy Ghost upon your life. You go out soul winning and people are getting saved and you pass out tracts, people take them and, man, things are going good. And you say, and then maybe you got a nice little pass out. I have hobby, sorry. I like putting puzzles together. I found out after being married to my wife for 20 plus years, I found something we have in common. Finally, after all these years, we like putting puzzles together. So I went out and bought $100 worth of puzzles last week. You know, when things are going good, I don't want to die. I want to live. And young man over there, I want to tell you, you can have a life that's more than just existing. It's where you're alive, a real life. But the car, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes life just isn't worth living. You're frustrated. You're aggravated. Things ain't going right. But there's another time when it's all there. And you don't want that. No, not now, Lord. Give me a little bit more time. And that's the kind of life I'm talking about. You know, the abundant life can be ours. It can be ours. In his message about the vine and the branches that Christ spoke about here, Jesus points out some spiritual secrets that lead to the abundant life. I want to say, number one, the first secret to that life I'm talking about is fruit bearing. Is fruit bearing. You know, what and who am I? Why am I here? You must answer these questions correctly if life is to have any meaning for you. The man who calls a wrench a screwdriver and who tries to use it as a screwdriver is heading for frustration and failure. The person who does not know who he is or what he is will experience the same kind of frustration and failure. The Christian need not have an identity crisis. Jesus tells us who we are and why we're here. We are the branches, and he's the vine. We are here to bear fruit. Once you accept this simple fact, you are on your way to making your life meaningful and useful. The reason God saves you is so you can bear fruit. You are living in a hungry world where people are starving for the things of God. They really are. They're starving for spiritual truth and spiritual reality and spiritual vitality. The branch does not bear fruit for the branch to eat, but for others to eat. It is one of the great joys of life to share the fruit with others. This is why we're here, folks. We're here to bear fruit. We're in the vine. We're the branches. Branches bear fruit. That's why we exist. He has put you where you are that you might accomplish his special purpose. You know, he has you here to bear fruit that only you can bear and to help people that only you can help. You specifically need to bear certain kind of fruits in your life to help the people that are around you. I am not going to be around your grandchildren as much as you are. I'm not going to be around your son or your daughter if they don't attend this church, but you are. And God wants you to bear fruit to be able to help these people. I can't do it. Pastor Cole can't do it. Pastor Seth can't do it. And other good men and good ladies in this church can't do it. Only you can. You need to bear fruit. Accept this responsibility of being one of the branches of that vine that Christ has. So what fruit does God want us to bear? I'll list a few fruits. It takes on many different forms, but fruit number one is the fruit of winning others to Christ and help them grow. That's a fruit that God wants to come from this branch that is you, that's in him, as you abide in him. This fruit that comes out of you, one of the fruits should be is you're leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise, Proverbs 11:13. So hey, the fruit of an orange tree is an orange, they say, right? Hear preachers say that the fruit of an apple tree is an apple, but the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. And you should be bearing Christians and you're abiding in the vine. If you're Christian experience, in your Christian experience, I ask you this question, have you ever brought a soul to Christ? If not, you're not bearing the kind of fruit that God wants you in your life, and maybe you're not abiding, and maybe you're not even saved, I don't know. There are many Christians who simply say that witnessing is not their calling. No, it's not my calling. But, you know, they're right. They're right. It's not their calling. Because witnessing for Jesus is not a calling. And there are many, you know, it's a command. And there are many Christians who never bear the fruit of souls and will one day meet their Savior, empty-handed be, as the song goes. I'll say number two, another fruit that we need to bear as we try to live this abundant life and we're in the vine, we're the branches in this vine that's Christ and we're bearing fruit. One of the fruits that we should be bearing is other souls. And another fruit we should be bearing is a practical life of holiness. Romans 6:22 says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. You will never know that this is a fruit that Christians are bearing in the average church today, because it's not a fruit that the average Christian is bearing today. In most cases, worldliness, Worldliness rather than holiness is the fruit that many Christians bear. The theme of Romans 6 is victory over sin. And the fruit of this victory is a holy life. But listen, never think of, quote, holiness, unquote, as a brittle kind of piety, such as the Pharisees practiced. Holiness is nothing but the beauty. Did I say that wrong, Rebecca? You're smiling at me. Holiness is nothing but the beauty and character of God displayed in our everyday lives. Holy living means more than victory over sin. It also means growth in character so that we become more like Jesus. That's what holy living is. It is both negative and positive aspects. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, it says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." Here it is, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, many people try to achieve holiness of life by a means of some formula or some religious ritual. Don't wear pants, read your Bible, have a white shirt on, you know. But that's not holiness. Their system works for a time. And then they experience failure and frustration. Been there, done it, don't work. Preached it, told other people to do it, led them to frustration, don't work. Holiness is to the inner man what health is to the outer man. And both of them are a byproduct of a life, a real life, abiding in Christ's life. It's a product of abiding in the vine. The person who eats properly, exercises, keeps clean, and gets the right amount of rest. You hear that, Frank? Yeah. Gets the right amount of rest, will usually enjoy good health. The Christian who abides in Christ and shares his life will produce the fruit of holiness. You cannot manufacture holiness. The Pharisees tried to do this, and Jesus called them hypocrites. Holiness of life must come from within, and it comes from abiding in the vine with Christ. It is the fruit we bear because we are the branches in the vine. I ask you tonight, are you a branch in the vine? I would say number three, another fruit that we bear is the fruit of doing good works. Colossians 1:10 says, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Hey, every one of us in this room can boldly say, you can do more good. Every one of us can do more good. Everyone. I'm sure I'm looking at my friends out here, and I love you dearly. I've been hanging around and being around some of you guys, and you have tolerated me for over 20 years now, some of you. And some of you do some good works, but every single one of us in this room can admit we can do more good. Every one of us can do more good. It's up to you, and it's up to me to choose to do good. So another fruit of abiding in that vine is doing good works. And fourthly, another fruit that we can have if we're abiding in Christ in the vine is a fruit of unselfish giving. In Romans 15, 25 through 28, Paul talked about an offering that they took up and for the poor saints at Jerusalem, and he called that offering fruit. So giving to God and in his name to others is not something that we do. It's not something that we do. You heard me right. It's not something we do. It's a result of what we are. When the branch is receiving life from the vine, it cannot help but give. The branch exists to give. That's what the branch does when the fruit, it gives. It exists to give. For the branch, giving and living are synonymous. They're the same thing. To live is to give. If you want that great life, are you a giving person? Does it just flow from you? When you see a person with a need and a hurt, and I'm looking out, and I'm the minister of finance of this church, and unfortunately, sometimes it's a curse on me. I know who gives and who don't, and I try to wash it out of my mind and not associate any of my fellowship or anything I do with anybody and how they give. But there are some people in this room who they can't help it. They just got to give because they're in the vine, and it's flowing out of them. You know, you may lose what you are not willing to give to the Lord. If you're a selfish person, you steal from God, and you're a God robber, you might lose it. I guarantee you're going to lose it. Giving is a fruit that we are to bear. If you're in the vine, you need to bear it. How is it that we can trust God, whom we've never met, with our soul? We've never met him. We've never seen him. We can trust him with our soul, but we can't trust him with our money. I can't comprehend that, my friends. I can't comprehend it. You're putting your whole fate of your eternal life in the power of his saving grace, yet you can't trust him to meet your needs. I can't understand that. We cannot trust him with that little piece of copper called a penny. A piece of stinking copper. Even the quarters and dollars. And Terry, you just show me a dollar, it's all copper, a new thing they got. Metal! You're trusting your life, the only thing eternal you have, on God. You can't trust them with your finances. The secret to living is fruit-bearing, my friends. Are you bearing fruit tonight? God did not create you, and Christ did not die for you, that you might go through life getting. Life is not about getting. What is for me? Give me. That's not life, Terry. That's not life, Pastor Seth. That's not life, Andy. It's not life. Getting is not life. Giving is life. And I'm glad there's so many in this room who understand this, and I'm preaching to the choir in this area. You're a giving people, and I bless God for that. We're having our best year ever financially, and it's a joy to see some people give sacrificially. This addition was given sacrificially by people who didn't have the money. God blessed them because they said one day, I'm going to trust God. And God blessed them and blessed a lady with over $70,000 that she gave through the church so we can do this addition. A lady that just trusted Lord one day and said, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to trust you. And this addition right here is the fruit of it, of her trust in God. Are you willing to be a branch? Tell him you are. Are you willing for his life to work in you and through you? And tell him, Lord, I want to do it. By an act of faith, yield yourself to Christ for the purpose of bearing fruit, for the purpose of fulfilling the wonderful plan God has for you and you alone. Brian, I can't do your work. I can't bear your fruit. Only you can. Are you willing? Yeah, I think he is. The guy works harder than any man I know yet. He's still out there trying to reach kids on the bus. Bless God. You're in the bus ministry. You're my hero. We're trying to reach people who need it and who want it and are dying for help. So I said, number one, the secret of having that abundant life and living is fruit-bearing. And number two, the second secret in life is abiding. It's abiding. Jesus uses the word abide in John 15 12 times. 12 times he uses the word abide. Why? Because abiding is the secret of fruit bearing. Okay, we need to bear fruit. How do we bear fruit? We abide in the vine and we can't help but bear fruit. The branch does not bear fruit by struggling, but by abiding. If you were to walk through a vineyard, you would not detect tension and struggle among the branches. Instead, you would discover a calm, confident resting and abiding as the branches draw their life from the vine. Is that a picture of our life? In the Christian life, there is a difference between union and communion. When you trusted Christ to save you, the Holy Spirit united you to him in a living relationship. You became a branch in the vine. A living union was formed. But this once-for-all union is the basis for communion now. We need to commune with him, maintaining a moment-by-moment fellowship with the Lord so that his life is shared with you. The branch that tries to go it alone will never bear fruit. I've tried it so many years. It doesn't work. We must be careful to distinguish between his supernatural life and our own natural qualities. Some of us can do things on our own, in our own flesh. But it don't work too good for too long, does it? Those who have some skills. You need to trust the Lord The more and more I grow in the Lord, the more and more I realize I'm in trouble and I can't do this. I can fake out a whole bunch of people, but I can't fake out God and I can't fake out myself anymore. There are many people who by nature are quiet and unassuming, but this attitude is not necessarily Christian humility. Others are naturally optimistic. Mrs. Cole. But this may not be Christian joy. I mean, I'm not saying it's not. It just may not be. Just naturally, people might be optimistic. How can you tell the difference? Two ways. First, when our abiding in Christ produces true spiritual fruit, it is beyond anything that we can do, and we know it. You know, a couple weeks ago, John Updegrove and I went out visiting on a bus route, and I just knew that God was with us. It was a unique time. Every house we went in, we had great talks. We got in the house. We got to lead a bus mom to the Lord. A couple weeks later, three of the parents we begged to come on our hands and knees almost came, and others were working on it. I just knew that it was of God, and it felt, man, I felt like a million bucks that for the next couple weeks after that, knowing that God did something through me. It was of God, and it was the first, you know, I could easily go out there and try to talk people and trick them, and I got my little thing, oh, please come to Sunday, I got my hands and knees and begging, but it sure is nice when God there with you. It sure is nice. And second, because this is true, when there is spiritual fruit, God gets the glory. If God is getting the glory in your life, you know it's true. If you're getting the glory, it's of yourself. People recognize that it is God at work in our lives, doing it and through us, and we could never do for ourselves. Some people in this room don't have the skills to do the things you're doing. It's God through you, and praise God. We can see it. It's obvious that God is working through some of us. You know, certainly the Holy Spirit can use personality traits, right? Such as Peter's courage or Paul's self-control. But usually, he has to help us overcome these traits. And when we depend on them and not on the Lord, many a time I depend on myself and the Lord needs to rebuke me. He needs to correct me. You got to stop. How do we abide in Christ? If abiding in Christ is a way to produce fruit and producing fruit is an abundant life, a real life, a living life, a life worth living, how do we abide? There's two schools of thought on how to abide in Christ. One of them, they call it the quietest, and the other one they call the activist. The quietest say, you do nothing. You simply yield to him and let him have his way. Christ lives in you, and he wants to use you the way the hand uses a glove. All the glove has to do is surrender. That's what some people say. All you got to do is surrender to the Lord. The activists say, not on your life. We are not dead gloves, but living people. God never violates our personality and forces himself on us. We must yield, but we must obey as well. We must actively read the Bible, pray and worship, and do all that he wants us to do. You know, both answers contain a measure of truth. Both answers are true. Surrender is important. You must surrender to the Lord if you're going to abide with him. You got to surrender. Have you surrendered your will to the Lord? And cooperation is important. You got to cooperate with the Lord. Hey, if the Holy Spirit tells you to go give that person a track, and don't tell me he doesn't because he does it to me on a weekly basis. Give that person a track, and you don't do it. You're not cooperating, and that's not abiding. Abiding is not a passive thing like a glove on a hand because a glove does not have intellect. It doesn't have emotions the way the will of a person does. The glove can do nothing else but surrender. On the other hand, abiding is not such an active thing that we must manufacture our experience. We can't manufacture it. Everyone has a spiritual formula for you to follow. You do this. A plus B plus C equals D. It doesn't work like that. That's not how abiding. There's no formula. There's no magic formula that I can tell you personally how you are to abide in the Lord. You know, we can make a cook, and Brother Kelly is going to cook a meal for the ladies coming up, and I heard the recipe, and it sounds like it's going to be real good, and he sounds like he really knows what he's talking about in cooking, so it might sound like it's going to be a good meal, but he has a formula, he has a recipe, but that's not how it is with abiding. I can't give you a formula. I can't tell you this and that, but Paul gives us a good answer. In Philippians 2, in verse 12 and 13, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Okay, when I'm around, you behave a certain way. But no, even when I'm not there, you behave. In my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You need to seek God's face. You personally need to get on your hands and knees, and you need to beg God and show him and ask him how he could show you how you are to have this abiding life with him. Hey, not every one of us can pray for 2 hours in the morning like there is a man in this room who's been doing recently. 2 hours every morning. Not every one of us can do that. But we can pray for a half hour and have a great, abundant, abiding life. You need to find out what it is for you personally and seek God's face on it. Hey, God works in, we work out. As we surrender, you got to surrender to God. God, I'm willing. I want to abide with you, Lord. Show me how. Show me how. As we surrender, God works in. As we obey, God works out. Abiding involves keeping in fellowship with the vine so that God can work in us. To abide someplace is to live there, to spend time there, to stay there. So this abiding, what do I do? It involves meditation in the Word of God. Are you in the Word every day, every day, every day? I said, are you in the Word every day? I asked a good man that the other day, and he told me no. I said, what are you doing? You got to be in the Word every day. How can you not be in the Word every day? You've got to be. If you want to abide, you got to be in the Word every day. There's no excuse. Don't miss it. Don't skip it. Every single day, be in the Word of God. You got, inviting involves prayer. I don't care how long you pray. That's not important. But pray. Pray. I mean, it is important. Don't take the wrong. But pray. Pray, pray, pray. Get on your knees and pray. If you need something to pray for, I can give you about 100 things to pray for. They're all sitting in front of me right now, and every single person in this room needs prayer. Every one of us. And if the one person says they don't, is a liar. Every one of us need help and need prayer. We should be praying for each other. Abiding involves prayer. Abiding involves confession. Oh, Lord, I'm not abiding and I'm not doing it. I could care less about anyone. I only care about myself. I'm sorry. Confess it. Abiding involves confession. And abiding involves a desire to do God's will. Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? That's how you abide. So I said the secret to living is fruit bearing. The secret to fruit bearing is abiding. So what's the secret to abiding? I say the third secret to life is obeying. And this is my message, obeying. There's some people in this room who have a problem with obeying. I'm one of them, but I know I've been dealing personally with a person in this room who has a problem with obeying. But I want to say obeying is the fundamental law of the universe. It's ordained by God, and that obedience leads to abiding. The person who obeys the law of health will abide in health, generally. The farmer who obeys the laws of nature will abide and enjoy the fruits of his labor. Brother Mike can tell you this. The scientist who obeys the law of science will abide and be able to accomplish great things. Science doesn't lie. Math doesn't lie, does it, Mike? 2 + 2 = 4. You abide by those rules and you can do great things. God has written certain laws and principles into this world. And we cannot disobey them without suffering. When on my missions trip last year to Bulgaria, I went to Bulgaria last year, I was in a big airport in Austria, and, you know, huge jets, they were everywhere. You know, I'm amazed by the fact that those huge jets can fly. They float in air, and they stay in air. How do they do it, man? They're heavier than air. You think they would just crash down? No, but God has given us laws that if we obey them, things work. And the law of gravity dictates, that it can't be done. It's going to fall, right? But obeying other laws, the engineers can make that plane fly. You know, if the pilot stops obeying, what happens? He stops abiding. He ain't abiding in the air no more. He's going to be a crashing. You know, the secret of abiding is obeying. Why is it so? Why did God make obedience the secret of abiding. Why? To begin with, God obeys his own laws. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. God obeys his own laws. He made this law in the Bible. You know, there are times when he performs miracles and he brings higher law into play. I acknowledge that. God is above his laws. But God's usual mode of working is obey his own laws. And that he has built into this universe. He obeys them. Because he does obey those laws, we have changes of seasons. Oh, isn't it beautiful out? I was out meditating today, sitting out in a hammock, and I was watching the birds fly around, and I can't believe it. Another year, the little buds are coming out on that tree, just like clockwork, because God obeys his laws. We have harvests, and we can harness to tremendous power that this universe holds. All of science is based on the fact that God obeys his own laws. From the splitting of the atom to the charting of a distant planet, Uncle Jim, God obeys his laws, and they all depend on God's laws. If God once disobeyed his own laws, the universe would fall apart and cease to exist. You know, the source of evil in this world is man, not God. Why? It's because of men and women. It's because of the first man's disobedience. Why? To God's law. That evil even came into this world. It wasn't God who brought it into this world. It was man disobeying God's laws. It's because men and women continue to disobey God's laws that evil grows and destroys this world. And even Christians disobey God's laws, and that's why there's trouble and heartache and discontentment and sadness and pain and suffering, because we disobey. That's the only reason, my friends. The same divine law that gives the farmer corn when he plants corn also gives the sinner sorrow and death when he disobeys. For we reap what we sow. Since God obeys his own laws and the universe abides in him because he does, then when we obey his word, we too will abide in him. You get that? To disobey God is to fly in the whole face of the universe. This explains why the disobedient person has so much trouble. Not only inwardly, but also outwardly. Trouble comes on disobedient children. When the child of God obeys the will of God, everything in the world works for him. But when the child of God disobeys the will of God, everything works against him. And just falls apart and your life becomes miserable and you're grumpy and aggravated and tired all the time. You know, but there are times when you are obedient and there's difficulties in your life. God has purposes for those. But the trial's only temporary. But praise God, what's the result of that? Then comes blessing, right? I don't know how many times I've had a trial in my life and then great blessing. My son drowned in a pool, great blessings, and other trials I don't dare mention that have years later brought forth great blessing in my life. I wouldn't have been saved if it wouldn't have been for my son falling in a pool. It's not easy. It's hard. He was sick the last couple of weeks. It was hard seeing him suffering. And it's been this June 24th will be 20 years, Uncle Jim. I believe it's been that long since Michael fell in that pool. It's been 20 years. And he's sat in a wheelchair now for 20 straight years. But the blessings, I wouldn't be able to list them all in this sermon, the blessings from that. I believe over 600 different people have come through the doors of this church as a direct result of him falling in that pool and the bus routes we have started. And all the hard work of other laborers like Irene and others and Mrs. Lindsay and my cousin Lenny and even Rick Richardson and others who worked in Buffalo. And then Mr. Brash got on it and went down there visiting. And me and Mr. Brash used to go down there visiting. And over 600 people have come to know the Lord because of that. But Paul and Silas, they obeyed God and going to the Philippi. And what happened? It ended up in them going in prison. But the result was a great blessing in the salvation of the jailer and his family and the establishing of a new church. So everything in the universe obeys God except man. The man has the most to gain by buying and the most by obeying, and he has the most to lose by disobeying. The biggest stars in the tiniest cells all obey God's will. This is what keeps the universe together. The Bible says fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. In Psalm 148:8, no part of natural creation would ever think of questioning God's will, let alone disobeying it. Only man questions and disobeys God's will. Because man, by God's will, has a will of his own, and he was created to make decisions, wasn't he? We make our own decisions. We can decide to disobey God. That's how God made it. So why is obeying important? Because God obeys his own laws. He's established laws. And if you go against them, you're going to fail. If you go with them, you're going to succeed. And you can abide. And you can have an abiding life with Christ if you obey them. You disobey them, you're going to have a miserable life. I promise it. You can mark her down, my friend. You're going to have a miserable life if you disobey God. Mark her down. Mark her down. Secondly, obedience involves the will. It involves the will. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. We do not abide simply by having thoughts about God's will or even feelings about God's will. I'm going to do God's will. I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And that's not it. What we abide when we obey God's will. I'm going to be a missionary. All right, I'm getting my carcass to Bible college. I'm going to learn the Bible. I'm going to study. I'm going to get out of deputation. I'm going to learn everything I can about this country. And I'm going to go out and get some support. And I'm going to get me going. And I'm going to be there. And you do it. You obey God's will. Like Brother Nick Malucci did. When they said, hey, that country's not even open. You can't do it. He says, I don't care. God told me to do it. He obeyed God's will. And now he's doing a great work in Bulgaria. When they said it couldn't be done, don't tell him it couldn't be done because he's abiding in the vine. He's abiding and he's doing it and he's fruitful because he obeyed. When we obey, we obey. When we obey God's will, this means submitting our will, submitting it. Not thy will be done, Lord, but not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. Thy will, thy will. Are you submitting to God's will, not your own? A lot of you came to church tonight, but those who didn't, they didn't submit to God's will, did they? Because God's will is Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We're supposed to assemble. That's so you obeyed God's will tonight. Abide in Christ. Abide, abide. No amount of thoughts in the mind and feelings in the heart can compensate for the disobedience of the will. I don't care how much, how good it makes you feel or what you care, what you think in your mind, what you're doing. It's not what you're thinking in your mind. It's doing with your hands and your feet and your mouth and sharing the gospel and doing things. Too many Christians sell for an intellectual experience. They study the Bible. They learn facts and definitions and they try to explain doctrines, but they never obey what God tells them to do. Give that guy a track. Go be a missionary. Work the bus route. Oh, that's for other people. I've done my work in a bus route. No, God's will says do the bus work. Do it. It's for you. It's not something you talk about. It's something you do. Are you doing? The will of God is to be done, and that's how you abide. By obeying God's will brings abiding in the vine, and abiding in the vine bears fruit. And when you bear fruit, that brings a life that's worth living, my friend. It's worth living. I don't want a life that's dead and dumb and every day I'm frustrated and aggravated. I'm tired of being frustrated. I'm tired of being aggravated. I had enough of those days in my life. I want a life that bears fruit and it only comes by obeying God's will. And I got to skip a whole bunch of my notes. In conclusion at this point here, obedience releases God's power. When the scientist obeys the laws of science built into nature by God, he can release power. When the farmer obeys the laws of growth, it will release power and produce fruit. But when we disobey these laws, the power that is released will destroy us and will not help us. Disobey the laws that govern electricity and you may kill yourself and others. Obey them and you will abide. But obeying is one of the most difficult things in the world. I agree. It is. There is something perverse and selfish in our very nature, every one of us, that tells us, do it your way. Don't bow down to anybody else. You know, we inherited this stubbornness from our parents, our first parents. And then we got it by listening to Satan's, yea, hath God said. Paul described our sad plight when he said this, and this is my cry. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. I want to do it. I really do. I want to do it. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. How can you obey God and I? And I have another point which I can't preach. Next point is, what is the secret to obeying? And that's love. That's love. If you love God, you'll keep his commandments. So my friends, tonight I just wanted to preach this little message here that actually was a 7-week course. And I did it in this little bit of time. I thought it was appropriate for us tonight. Look it. Do you want to have life? Do you want to live? Every one of us will raise our hand and say, I want a life. I want that life that's exciting. I'm tired of being dead and miserable and aggravated and frustrated. And I want a life that can bring some joy and energy and power into my life. Well, that life comes by bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. And that fruit comes only by abiding. And that abiding in the vine with Christ only comes by obeying. And the obeying only comes by love. Do you love God tonight? I hope you do. I hope you love God tonight. Pastor, I'll let you come up and do the rest of it.